It's Thursday, February 3rd, 2011. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. And today, we're taking the oral history of Paul Banner, B-A-N-N-E-R. So, Paul, what is your full name?
It's Paul Raymond Banner.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in 1946 in Kalamazoo.
All right. And where do you live today?
I live on Edison Street in the Northwood neighborhood.
All right. And what is your personal connection to the Parchment area?
I've lived here for 35 years.
Okay. you moved into your house on Edison?
In 1973.
1973. Okay.
And after we moved in, we found we were in the Parchment School District, not the Kalamazoo School District.
Right.
We were happy to be in Parchment. It would not have been a problem if it had been Kalamazoo, but, you know, subsequent history would be a lot different, probably.
Sure. But you mentioned before we even started that you actually grew up in Martin.
Yes, I'm a farm boy. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a large farm outside Martin.
Okay.
My parents had purchased this farm back a year before I was born, maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
My dad was one of six boys. There, mm-hmm. There were six Banner boys that mm-hmm. Grew up in Mendon and all ended up in the Kalamazoo area.
Sure.
My dad was the one who was not in Kalamazoo because, you know, we were the farmers.
What were your parents' names?
Name's Paul. So I'm actually a junior. That my father was Paul Raymond Banner, but he went by Raymond.
Okay. What's your mom's maiden name?
And her name was Bernice Finnegan.
Okay.
So she was of Irish and Danish descent.
Mm-hmm.
And she grew up in Albion.
Okay.
Met my dad when she moved into Kalamazoo after she got out of school.
All right.
And I think my dad was still farming in the Mendon area at that time.
Okay.
They were introduced through a cousin of my dad's. Actually, she introduced my mother to one of my dad's brothers, Ed Banner, who ended up in Parchment. He married Elizabeth Shellhorn, Elizabeth's family owned, operated the Riverside Greenhouses.
Sure.
And Ed went into the greenhouse business with Elizabeth when they married and left. He had farmed up. My folks, when they bought the farm in Martin, Ed and my dad bought the farm that they were, and then Ed, after he met Elizabeth, he moved into Parchment to raise flowers instead of wheat and oats.
And you went to school in Martin?
Yes, my schooling was in Martin.
Sure. And at least elementary and middle school was in Martin.
Through eighth grade.
Through eighth grade.
Through eighth grade.
Sure.
I went to the Catholic Seminary in Grand Rapids for the rest of high school, a couple years in college.
And the name of the seminary?
In Grand Rapids was St. Joseph Seminary.
Okay. And what order was that? Was that an order?
That was a diocesan seminary.
Okay. All right.
So it was the Grand Rapids that was the Grand Rapids Diocesan Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, talking about the layout of the Catholic geography, Martin, being in Allegan County at that time, was in the Grand Rapids Diocese.
Yes.
Kalamazoo County was in the Lansing Diocese.
Mm-hmm.
That's all changed now.
Sure, yeah. After high school, Or how long were you in the seminary?
Well, I was in the seminary 7 years. 4 years high school.
All right.
2 years in Grand Rapids in junior college. And 1 year studying philosophy in Baltimore, Maryland at St. Mary's Seminary out there.
Okay.
And when I left the seminary, I completed my BA work at Grand Valley State College at that time. You know, I probably was in the fifth or sixth graduating class, something like that. That goes way back, and you know, this year they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. So I must have been, you know, five, 6 years into it.
Yeah. What was school like in Martin? Did you have a favorite subject?
I liked school. I can't say I had a favorite subject because I really, really liked just about everything. I was an A student, and it probably went to my head.
You were in band, though, too.
Right. Martin had a band program that started in about fourth grade, I think. And I wasn't real good, but I was good enough, and they were desperate enough for bodies that, you know, halfway through seventh grade, they moved me into the high school band to have a few extra bodies.
Playing which instrument?
I played trombone.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, depending on, you know, whether we had, you know, four or five or six trombonists, I was, you know, fourth, fifth chair, sixth chair, something like that.
Were you in marching band?
It was a marching band. It was a marching band. They did a little concert stuff, but it was set up as a marching band.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was when I was in eighth grade, for some reason, the music department decided they were going to stage the Mikado, the Gilbert and Sullivan musical.
Yeah.
Which they did. They rented costumes and stuff like that from someplace out of state. Maybe it was Chicago. It might very well have been New York.
Mm-hmm.
In order to handle the orchestral stuff, the director invited, you know, half a dozen of his friends to come in with their string instruments and so forth to give us some oomph because you know, Martin wasn't very big, and probably half the band was in the singing side of the production.
I see. And do you still play trombone, or did you give it up?
I have not touched it in decades and decades and decades.
What did you do after your schooling? Did you go to work,
I went to work. Decided that I did not want to go on into graduate school. It was, it would have been an option that my grades were such that I, you know, could very well probably have done graduate school. But I did not have an interest in pursuing anything there, and was interested in getting into some kind of business experience. This was 1969, so you know it was difficult to get hired any place with the concern that you might end up being drafted into the war in Vietnam. As that kind of shook out, they did a lottery to determine who were going to be drafted and who would fall back, and I was lucky enough to get a lower high number, however you want to describe but I was was not I was pretty much safe from the draft. But what did happen, I had put in several applications in the Kalamazoo area, and the draft concern at that point was, that's the reason people didn't want to hire someone who might be subject to the draft. As it turned out, I was hired by Gilmore Brothers. Started out as a college graduate, carrying packages out at Gilmore Brothers.
And Gilmore Brothers, what kind of business was that?
That is the old family department store in Kalamazoo.
Okay.
Is no more.
Right.
And the...
So you were delivering?
Initially, I was a... It was called package pickup or pack. It was called package pickup. Mm-hmm. It was a package carryout service.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore's had a six-floor.
Yeah.
It was a six-floor business.
Sure.
And they ran a service that you could, when you made your purchase, you could leave it at the counter.
Right.
And I would carry it down to the parking lot, and then you could pick it up at this check center.
How long did you work for them?
I worked for Gilmore Brothers for about 27 years.
You did? And what else did you do for them?
Well, I did a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, sure.
That I moved fairly quickly from the package carryout to moving into the delivery department, checking and packing purchases that were going out by delivery. And about a year and a half later, there was an opportunity to move into the warehouse, and I moved in as an assistant manager.
Mm-hmm.
That position, eventually, the manager left, and I took over his position. And I most of that 27 years, the latter 24, 25 of those years, I worked in middle management, running the receiving and marking, overviewing the delivery process, stock operations, and shuttle of merchandise between stores. When I started at Gilmore's, they were a single store.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened up a store at Maple Hill Mall and then out at Southland, and sometime later a store over in Battle Creek, and then started closing those back.
Did you retire from there, Paul?
I did not retire. I did not retire from Gilmore's.
From there, okay.
That in the early 90s, the store management recognized that the days of the family department store were very numbered. That competition and the buying clout of the large general merchandise chains just didn't leave a place for for a family department store to be able to compete. So they looked to branch out in the directions of specialty retailing, and acquired a chain of women's specialty stores that had been in bankruptcy, called the Acorn, and they brought the central operations of the Acorn from Columbus, Ohio, up into Kalamazoo, and then a few years after that, they merged or acquired the Redwood and Ross men's specialty operation, which also was in financial constraints. And with that merger, they brought, going back to the acorn, the acorn was, did not have a very large back office staff, so the Gilmore people took over the basic operation, central operation of the acorn. When the merger with Redwood and Ross, as that was coming together, there were a number of people that had competing positions, so to speak, between the two organizations. So, Redwood and Ross had their warehouse distribution manager. And as the question came down about which of the two of us, they were going to keep. I was given the buyout package, which I was very happy to take.
When was the end of that?
So that was
your working life
that was
there.
That was 1995.
1995. Okay.
I worked for a couple years with Kalamazoo Security or Sonatrol.
Right.
After that, that business is currently operating as has been acquired and is now part of EPS. Which is the current firm monitoring the library.
Yeah.
For that purpose.
Yeah.
So where does that take us?
Yeah, is it like getting to the end of the 90s?
That took up into 1997.
Sure.
And I was doing the not exactly service dispatch, but I was would take service calls, service requests, and write up the order tickets, and to some extent. Supervise the dispatch of the service techs who were out on the road handling service calls. And Kalamazoo Security was the primary electronic security service company in the area at that time.
And you did that for how long?
I did that for 2 years. That really was was not my cup of tea.
Sure.
That I tell people that we had, at the house, our security system at the house was our lovebird, who came was at the back door, and she would squawk when you came in. That was
Sure. Well, you moved on
in 1997. Mm-hmm. Tendered a notice and actually just signed up with temp agencies. It was a good it was a good time to be looking for a job. That the type of skills I had and office support and I was at a point that I did not have to have a middle management type position. I could do a clerical support someplace. That my wife is a school teacher. She worked with visually impaired students with the Van Buren Intermediate School District. So I had some flexibility that I could find something that would fit better. I was dealing there were a few issues of people would say he's way overqualified, and that went on. It seemed like that went on for a long time, but within 3 weeks I got a placement into a construction office out in Richland.
What's the name of that business?
Well, that business is out of business now, but it was called West Michigan Plumbing and Heating. And I spent 10 years with them and really learned a lot about the contracting business as it relates to mechanical contracting. So that 10 years comes up to 2007. As they were doing some restructuring in their office, they decided to eliminate the assistant project manager type of support that was the function that I was providing. And so, you know, I got another nice severance package and said to Sue, you know, I probably can retire. And we looked over stuff and and ran numbers back and forth, and so I did.
Okay. And, so in 2007?
In 2007.
You retired. Okay.
Subsequent to that, I did do a little consulting work for another mechanical contractor in the area here for about a year. And I also had had started doing repair work of Perkins Braille writers.
Right.
That Sue had kind of, I could say she tricked me into it, but it's something that, you know, she brought one home that wasn't working and asked me if I could take a look at it, see if I could fix it. And I succeeded. Mm-hmm. Now that I know, as I learn more about them, I, you know, recognize that I was a little bit lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an opportune time to get into that business. That it's kind of a specialty niche market.
Sure.
There was an older retired gentleman who had done this work for probably a better part of 10 years, and he lived up near Lansing, and passed away about 2005, I believe. So, and nobody had taken over his business, and there wasn't anybody doing it in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some studying on it and registered a business, and
you're still doing that?
I'm still doing it, yeah.
Okay. You moved into, as you mentioned earlier, you bought a house, you moved into the Northwoods neighborhood in 1973 and found out you were in the Parchment School District.
Well, I said 73, didn't I? Actually, that was 1975.
75, okay. And do you and Sue have kids, Paul?
Yes, yeah. We have, they're both grown now, but...
Sure.
Our son Matt was an infant when we moved into into the house on Edison, which was our first owned home.
Sure.
And so far it's our only one, and we're very happy with being there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a daughter, Bethany, who is. Came along 3 years later.
Are they here? They still live around here? Or?
Beth does live in Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. Matt lives in Great Britain.
I see.
He moved to Great Britain with work back in 2000.
Okay.
And married a lovely little lass over there.
I see.
2 or 3 years later, and that's where our two granddaughters are.
Okay. What do you remember about your first initial recollection of Parchment?
Again, this goes back to Ed and Elizabeth, that of the six Banner Boys that I referenced, we were all of a family that, saw enough of one another, at least that we did a family reunion every summer. And
right.
Would move around from family to family.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, and I probably, because of the way my dad and Ed had worked together for the years that they farmed together before Ed moved into the greenhouse business, that our two families, we saw a lot of each other.
Yeah.
You know, we were close, you know, closer right. than with the rest of the clan, with whom we also were close. And sometime in the early 50s, I think, just trying to guess where it was, Ed and Elizabeth moved from their home over on Pinehurst in the close in West Side Kalamazoo area. They bought the large house on Park Avenue. I want to say it's 501, but I'm not sure about the address. Uh-huh. But it's the large house at Park and Hubbard that uh-huh. overlooks the park.
Sure.
And when we would come down to see them, instead of going to Pinehurst, we'd come to Parchment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, the early experience of Parchment was, I think primarily it was, you know, visiting them that,
sure.
you know, you'd see the mills and,
mills were.
We would play in, you know, we play in Kindleberger Park,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, in the winter when we got down, you know, we had to go over and slide or roll down the hills, whatever was involved. I guess in the summer we just roll down the hills.
Yeah.
We were familiar with KVP
sure.
from their products.
Sure.
We knew people who
mm-hmm.
who worked
there. At the mill.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as things progressed after that, I think there's just lots of little excerpts of thoughts that I think I remember the community building.
Yep.
Sure. If I don't remember the community building, I don't remember another building that was in that
mm-hmm.
park area that was used for receptions or something of that nature.
You must remember Belle Isles.
Did actually,
you guys come to Belle Isles?
No. Well, I don't believe we did.
Oh.
I don't believe we did.
Okay.
That the visits generally were weekend visits because, you know, I grew up, you know, I lived on a farm,
mm-hmm.
and I did a lot of farm work.
Sure.
started driving tractor when I was 7 or maybe mm-hmm. a little younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, probably by the time I was 8 or 9 that I did a lot of work outside and
sure.
helping with the farming.
So your visits here, they were family visits.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were mostly family visits
mm-hmm.
here. Sure. Sure. Tight, extended, large family on your dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, your other strong connection with Parchment, though, is you've been on the library board here.
For a long time.
Since the mid-80s, you've been on the library
yes.
board here. Yeah. Currently serving as the president.
Mm-hmm.
Or have you always served as the president?
No, not all that time. But I probably have been the president since the mid-later 90s.
Okay.
That prior to that, I spent probably the better part of 8 years I was,
yeah.
was the treasurer of the board.
I see. Because this library has moved 5 times, as we were talking about before. We have
mm-hmm.
an extremely tenacious group of people here
mm-hmm.
in Parchment that were determined to get a library and started a study group in the early 60s, and then the building we're in right now is 1989. And so you were on the board before we got to this building.
Right.
Yeah.
The, you know, my first, well, you know, I visited the library and checked books out of the library mm-hmm. when I was on Island Avenue.
Yeah.
And watched it move to Barclay Hills. I was not involved in that move.
Up on Mazel.
And no, it was along in that time frame that the library had achieved its district library status.
Yeah.
And the movers and shakers of the library, you know, their determination to get their own building.
Yeah.
That they formed a citizens committee to study and recommend a building. And the as that committee was formed, they sent out invitations to interested parties. They invited all of the PTO mm-hmm. organizations to send representatives. Sure. And because my wife was a strong library user, they invited her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not. She was not interested on working on any committees like that, but I was curious about it, and I volunteered to represent her and to represent the Northwood PTO.
Okay.
Now, part of where I was coming from on this whole bit, that again, you know, my Gilmore connection, I worked in downtown Kalamazoo since 1969.
Yeah.
And a couple years prior to this all coming together, the Kalamazoo had been dealing with a serious problem they had with the railroads, that the tracks going through Kalamazoo, the railroad tracks, were not in real good repair. And as a consequence, the trains that were running through Kalamazoo had to run very slow speeds. And in addition to that, Kalamazoo was still enough of a rail hub that they had a lot of freight trains that moved through downtown Kalamazoo
yeah.
on a daily basis and tied up traffic downtown in a serious fashion.
Yep.
And so the city fathers eventually came up with a plan that they called their rail consolidation plan, which involved some, you know, track rerouting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It also involved building a viaduct overpass over the railroad tracks that run east of downtown Kalamazoo. This was a rather expensive project.
Sure.
I don't remember what the dollars were, but the bond proposal was rejected significantly.
Ah.
And my concern and feeling was that that Parchment was not going to be interested in raising, you know, a millage of some sort to build a library building. One main interest in joining this board or this committee in the first place was to try to make a reasoned approach and to really to evaluate alternatives to building a building and making sure those were evaluated.
Okay, may I just ask mm-hmm. this question here? Your concern was because that failed in Kalamazoo,
mm-hmm.
that there was a chance, because we're out right here on the northeast corner
we're
of town,
associated.
We're closely associated, that because of all the publicity and the rejection of that plan, that out here, any proposal for funds to build a library, unless cautiously approached, might also be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And as things progressed, this Citizens Committee was, you know, made up of just a bunch of great people from Parchment.
Yeah.
And we, as we hashed this over, we developed a recommendation to have a community survey performed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to have it performed by the social sampling department at Western,
yeah,
so that the survey would carry weight with,
yes,
with people who, not so specifically with the community, but would carry weight with businesses and,
mm-hmm,
kind of the deep pockets sources of revenue for,
yeah,
for the community or for a library.
Yeah.
And the results of the survey were that the citizenry fully supported a library. They were willing to contribute to a capital campaign, and they,
mm-hmm,
were willing to fund a millage on top of that to build a building. So,
great.
I said, well,
yeah,
you know, if that's what we want to do, we got the support.
Sure.
You know, let's continue working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as things progressed, well, you know, we got our building. And,
in 89. 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And that was a rather long, laborious process, I would imagine, to make sure you could get everybody on the same page.
We had a great library director back in those days. We haven't had any bad library directors in this library.
Good.
That was Susan McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And she did lots of research, and she provided lots of reading material for people that were working on those programs, and
I see.
It was put together very well.
Yeah.
Back in the mid 80s, at some point there, and I'm not sure, you know, what year it was, Viva Abramson decided to step off of the board, and
yeah,
I think it was partly, maybe she was just retiring, I don't remember exactly what the details were. I was appointed to take her position on the board.
Uh-huh.
And then subsequent to that,
okay,
I've been fortunate to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
As the elections
many times
along. Many times, yes.
So what has this, you know, what have you, has the board, the library board here faced any big issues? Like in the 90s, did you run up against anything, or what just been, do you have a lot of
the
trouble with anything, or?
We really have not.
Mm-hmm.
That the library, you know, the institutional library here has always been very strongly supported by the people of Parchment and of the school district, that the,
mm-hmm,
the library serves the whole area of
right,
the Parchment schools.
Right.
The challenges that the board has faced have been challenges of helping fund the continuing,
yeah,
program developments, and,
yeah,
you know, as things have progressed with technology,
yeah,
and,
right,
and all those things.
Now, let me ask you something,
mm-hmm,
in here. You know, the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company, the city grew up around the mill.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the name of the town comes from. Grew up around the mill. Mill started in 1909, but closed in 2000 after several mergers. Did that have any impact on the funding of the library? Did your tax base change? Did you face any challenges there?
There were shifts in the tax base due to that. The funding issue with the library kind of fell back in a different direction from that. When the library was first when it first became independent as a district library, there was a one mill operating millage that was voted. Voted as a 20-year millage, and that really pretty well covered the operation of the library. Especially at that time in its growth and development. When the building came together, the district library found that as the Michigan library laws were written at that time, the provision in the legal code for district libraries was quite restricted and did not match very well at all the nature of the organization of the Parchment District Library. To the extent that as the library was working towards funding towards the actual building of the library building, they found that they could not float a bond proposal in their own right to build the building. They had the support of the community, but they did not have the legal ability to do that in the state. The workaround that was developed to accomplish that was to create a building authority, which was put together in cooperation between the City of Parchment and the Parchment School District. So the building authority was able to levy the bonds. And the library did ask for and receive a second 15-year one mil.
I see. Okay.
I think those were the terms. So it was an additional one mil tax levy to pay off the bonds.
Okay.
So that was the way that all fit together.
I see.
Now, as the library got to the point that that they were paying off the completion of the bonds, the actual funding of the library operation as the programs had grown and the collection and so forth, that more than one mil was needed to continue operations, but you know, something between one and two mils. And so I'm not sure what the year was now, but the library did go to the community and received a lot of support from a number of community leaders to replace what was left of those two millages with a two mill levy that was levied in perpetuity.
Sure.
And so, you know, with that funding that, the library board has not had to worry about money. They've had to be, there's needed to be cautious, but we weren't facing situations where we were going to have to cut staff or services or something of other natures like that to balance the budget.
Great.
And
That makes your life easier.
Well, it does.
As on the board, sure.
And
sure.
And I think it probably also has an indirect effect back through the the Parchment Library has always been a very warm, welcoming building, welcoming staff. It's the way it's been going way back.
Yeah.
And that continues to perpetuate might be a little strong, but it continues to to grow and I think flourish in that direction. That this is really very representative of the staff and of the work of the directors over time.
Right.
They get the credit. I don't think the board really gets the credit. On the other hand, I've been on the library board going back to the early to mid 80s, and I seem to be one of the two or three that stays on the board and stays on the board and stays on the board.
Sure.
And I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that there has not been a board that I've worked with in all that time that has not received, strong and positive contribution from every person on the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from board to board.
Sure.
But every board member that this community has elected to the board has served constructively and very well. There are a number of those people who can't find anything that they should be given credit for, but they still deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's get a little philosophical here. We're winding up a little bit here. We're winding up. Okay. What would you like? Well, let me ask you something about just yourself. What do you consider a successful life, and how has Parchment affected that?
That's getting to be a tough question, because it's a question that I'm starting to ask myself. I think that the basics of having a successful life come down to just simple stuff of living with people, of having lived well with the people that you encounter and run across. Sue and I are our kids have challenged us much less than most kids challenge their parents.
Okay.
We admit we have always been spoiled, and we have no regrets about it.
Okay.
We also are very fortunate that our kids are very good friends of ours. We had. But when our kids were young, we had people who would say to us, "It only gets better," and they've been right.
Yeah.
Just coming back to that, the people in Parchment have been good to live with.
Ah. And what would you? Let me just ask you one more question here. What would you like people to remember most about Parchment?
I guess in three words, just a sense of community.
Sense of community here. Strong, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's still, even through all the changes, because when the mill closed, there was a huge change here. Even through all of those changes, there's still... You can still notice that here, huh? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul, I want to thank you so much. Mm. This is, everybody's got a, all these oral history interviews we have here, everybody's got a different piece of the puzzle
it's
here
gotta be.
For parchment. And I thank you very much.
Well, thank you.